Bob, tell me about this report, Too Wild to Drill. What was the point of it? What were you trying to, what were you looking for in this report? What were you looking for to find out?
Well, a lot of people don't realize that public lands actually contribute a lot of energy to our country, and that we have a lot of oil and gas development onshore in particular, as well as offshore, as well as coal development. But in the lower 48, you know, we did a study that showed of all the 245 million acres of Bureau of Land Management lands that they manage, 90% is available to oil and gas leasing. And that has resulted in 35 million acres being leased. And in a lot of places, you know, this focus on development by the BLM in the past has led to some places being leased that we believe are just too wild to drill, and that we need to defend these places and turn and have them managed for conservation, wildlife, recreation, instead of for development. There's going to be some development on our public lands, and we want to focus that to a much smaller area, be more strategic about it, but then really get the Bureau of Land Management to step up and restore some balance to how they're managing land. So we chose six places in the country to highlight where we feel that chose six places that to highlight that that represent that.
Bob, let's define our terms. Too wild to drill. What makes a public land too wild to drill?
I think a lot of the people, a lot of your listeners will recognize that. You know, it's a place that has spectacular wild or wilderness characteristics. It's a place that has really significant wildlife habitat, you know, that are, wind up being great watersheds for our communities or for agriculture that we don't want to sacrifice. You know, when oil and gas development occurs, it winds up being a very, it industrializes the landscape. You have roads, pipelines, you have well pads, you have all that. It displaces wildlife. It makes it a single-use activity. No one wants to go there to recreate, you know. And so these places then become off-limits for the rest of the American public who really own these lands. We own these lands. And so we get to decide where what places should be protected.
Okay. And in these, how much of the BLM's purview, if you will, how much of their, you know, the lands that they control and manage, how much do you think does the Wilderness Society think is too wild to drill?
Well, I don't know that I can put a number on that. I think it's more important to look at individual places and see how you can do that. I mean, one thing we've done is we've been working with the BLM on a process called master leasing plans, where you take an area that the oil industry is interested in, and you work with them, and you work with the BLM, you work with the local residents, and you decide at that scale, you know, what lands deserve to be protected and where can development move forward in a responsible and appropriate way. And so it's much more of a place-based approach there, and that's what we're trying to do, is get the BLM to have more of a commitment to conservation, so that when they look at these lands, rather than just looking at the lands and saying they're all available for oil and gas leasing, to look at these lands and say at the get-go, to say these lands, this area needs to be protected for the high values, you know, because not all lands are created equal. Some are much more valuable from a conservation standpoint than others. And but we really need to set those aside ahead of time, rather than right now the process allows them to put it up for lease and then we have to fight to defend them.
The Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska seems to be the focal point of a lot of this. Anyway, here in the Northwest, that's what we hear you know, most explained or most described as a place that, you know, they're looking at drilling, and the conservation folks are saying, no, don't do this. Where is that now? What's the status of that?
Well, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, we had a great victory earlier this year when President Obama recommended it as wilderness. And so in the coastal plain in particular, where the focus is, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is one of the largest intact ecosystems left on the planet. And it's really significant for caribou, which is important for the local native culture there, and some of their subsistence hunting, and it's just a big, large, wild place. And a lot of us have always said that this is certainly a great example of a place that's too wild to drill. You know, the Alaska Congressional Delegation and industry would love to see development there, and they have continued to push for that for decades. We've continued to push to defend that place. You know, the problem with defending these places is that you can only lose once, and then the development occurs, and that's it. So we've been really vigilant on this issue. President Obama did recommend it for wilderness, which is a step closer to protection. Only Congress can designate it wilderness, but the wilderness recommendation means that it now needs to be managed as wilderness, which puts development one step farther away. But still, there's always a constant threat that Congress would vote to open it up. And so that's why we want to educate people that it's not protected until we do get a wilderness designation there. And so we're always want to highlight that as a place that merits protection.
Is there any room for compromise in this in this debate?
Well, I think, yeah, there is. I mean, and Alaska's a great example. You know, we've got Prudhoe Bay along the Arctic Ocean there. To the east of it is the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, where we say it's too wild to drill. And to the west of that, though, the Western Arctic is the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska, a 22-million-acre area, an area 10 times the size of Yellowstone National Park. And there we've worked with the Bureau of Land Management. They came up with a management plan that said 11 million acres could be open to development. The other 11 million acres would be protected for key wildlife, caribou habitat, for waterfowl habitat, you know, to really protect the values, the natural values on the landscape. The interesting thing on that is while we split the acreage in half, 11 million acres for development and 11 million acres for conservation, the way it was done is that we protected over 90% of the key wildlife habitat in that approach, and still allowed for 72% of the oil reserves to be made available for development. So those are the kinds of approaches where we can have success and still protect the natural values on the land. And that's what we've been encouraging the Department of Interior and Bureau of Land Management to do.
Next up on the list, and I know I've got to let you go here in a couple of minutes, but there's Utah, there's Colorado, there's Montana. We don't hear too much about those areas. What is the status of, say, Montana? Since you're in Bozeman, Badger 2 Medicine, what's the status of that, and why is that too, what makes that too wild to drill?
Well, the Badger 2 Medicine is a really great landscape. It's adjacent to Glacier National Park. It's just southeast of and adjacent to Glacier National Park. It's part of an area we call the Rocky Mountain Front, where the Rocky Mountains and the plains come together, and it's really rich wildlife area. It's one of the last areas in the lower 48 where grizzly bears still roam the Great Plains. But more importantly, it's about 130,000-acre area that is significant to the Blackfeet Nation, the tribe there. That's where their creation stories are located. It's very spiritually significant to them. It's a rich wildlife area with grizzly bears and elk and all the native species that were there, that have been there. So there was a proposal to drill there. There's a company that has sued to try and open that area up. We've been successful in withdrawing a lot of the oil and gas leases that were historically issued there. This is an example of what has happened in the 1980s. You know, under former Interior Secretary James Watt, a lot of these areas were leased that shouldn't have been, and now we're trying to fight to get them to continue to keep them protected. So that area right now, we're asking the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service to reject those decades-old leases because we think they were improperly issued. And a big partner there is the Blackfeet Tribe and their tribal council because they really want to keep this area as one of their sacred places.
Mm-hmm. Is that like kind of putting the genie back in the bottle then?
Well, that's the argument. I mean, the thing here is that we really have to be careful when these areas are leased, because once they're leased, it's it's really hard to put the genie back in the bottle, Ken. And it's, you know, and that's why we really challenge these and want to make sure that when areas are leased, it's entirely appropriate ahead of time.
Bob, what's the takeaway from this report? People look at Too Wild to Drill. What do you want them to do? What do you want in their minds?
Yeah, well, they can go to our website at www.wilderness.org, sign up for Wild Alerts, and they can engage. We'll drop them an email when it's appropriate to engage on some of these. They can write their either to their congressional delegation or the Department of Interior. They can educate themselves more on some of these other places. Other places are like the Bears Ears Country in southeastern Utah, which is a really wonderful cultural area that has a lot of artifacts there and cliff dwellings and rock art on the canyon walls there. And then other places in Colorado, say Grand Junction area and Thompson Divide. So they can educate themselves about that more. And it's just one of these things that we really need people's help to step up and let the Bureau of Land Management, Department of Interior, and the delegations know that people stand up for protecting these wild places.
Mm-hmm. What's that website again there, Bob?
Yeah, it's www.wilderness.org.
Wilderness.org, and the Too Wild to Drill report 2015 edition is there. Right.
It's there, and then there's a place where they can sign up to get more email alerts on when it's appropriate. People don't always know when it's the best time to write a letter or send a note or something, and we'll help inform them on when that's most timely.
Bob, I thank you for a few minutes out. This has been enlightening.
Okay, Ken. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for your interest.
My pleasure. Take care in Bozeman.
Okay, thank you.